Now, the fabulous weather may be gone for the moment, but it does look very likely still that we could all be hit with a national hosepipe ban soon. So what does that mean for our gardens that we've all been tending to so carefully and with such love over the length of the lockdown? Well, I'm joined in studio by Dermot Gavin and on the line by Mary Staunton with advice for any gardening issues that you might have. And as always, you can text us on 51551 or you can email at Today Radio, sorry, that's tweet at Today Radio RTE if you have any questions for Dermot or Mary, and we'll try to get to those questions if we can. We might start firstly with the hose pipe ban and what this might mean for gardeners and how does a savvy gardener deal with it. Mary, I might come to you first on it. How do you maintain a garden if you can't use your hose in a drought?
Hi, Sarah. Hi. Well, at the moment, it isn't in operation, and even when it does come into operation, you can use a watering can. But it's how you use the water to best effect. And there's no point in tiddling the plants around the leaves with water. You need to go directly towards the roots with the watering can, and you give a good half can to kind of each plant. And what happens, what makes the plant actually sends the roots down lower instead of having shallow roots. If you're only tiddling the plant with a little bit of water, the roots will be all shallow. If you give them a decent drink of water every kind of 3 days, then the roots will go down into the ground and have a fairer chance or a much better chance of surviving. So it's the watering technique rather than splashing the water around.
Right, so half a can to each plant, that's certainly much more than I've been doing by the sounds of things, which explains a lot, Mary, in terms of the way my garden's looking at the moment. So, I mean, is it okay if there's water left on the surface then, or...?
If you're doing it every 3 to 4 days or 3 days, rather than giving it a dribble of water today and a little dribble of water tomorrow, what's happening is it's soaking right down into the root system of the plant and it's doing a better job down there. Hanging baskets and things like that will dry out much quicker, so you're going to have to kind of do them much more often. And you can buy these, they're like a crystal that you put in with the compost. Now, most composts have it, and it swells and it holds on to a little bit more water, and that's its job in the compost. If you have compost that's really kind of dried out, if you just squirt a little bit of washing up liquid into your watering can, and it goes into the compost and it kind of hydrates it. The water adheres to the compost. That's just a little tip, trying to rehydrate maybe compost that has dried out too much.
Okay, wonderful. Dermot, you've arrived into studio with the most spectacular array of wild flowers, but I want to ask you about that in a second. And if listeners want to see it, we are live on RT News Now, and you'll be able to see the flowers because they really are worth seeing. But on the hosepipe ban, tell me, how would you approach it? Would you agree with what Mary's talking about, or do you have any other tips as well?
No, that's absolutely right. Maybe the thing I'd add is putting a mulch over any of those shrubs that are under stress. I've just seen a shrub in your courtyard, in the RTE courtyard, should I say, out here, which is really under stress. The leaves are hanging and some of them are turning a bit brown. So a mulch of forest bark, any organic material, and also forget watering your lawns. Even now, even though we don't have a hosepipe ban at the moment, it's not a good use of water. They will recover.
Okay. And is that the only thing you can do then, or how often would you be talking about watering your plants?
Well, as Mary said, the hanging baskets and pots and containers will need to be looked after. We've had extraordinary weather. Plants dry out, especially if they're hanging in the air with a little breeze going over them. And we have, you know, after lockdown, we've been investing in colour in our garden centres. We want that bit of brightness and we want to take part in the skill of gardening. So look after them. Save any water that you can. You know, any grey water for your house, if possible, and use that. Any trees that have gone in this year, they'll really need looking after. But again, the mulch around the base to keep the roots nice and cool is a very good tip, and it'll reduce your reliance on extra water. If you can, you know, in general, the shrubs in the garden, make them do the work. Make them search for the water, rather than if you give them too much additional water, they get lazy.
Okay, tell me about this beautiful garden that you've brought in. Because can I tell you, it looks nothing like my front lawn, which I have left to go wild.
So a couple of months ago, we talked about your front lawn, and I was talking about lawns in general and how they're absolutely wonderful. If you have children who want to play football games or roll around in the grass, they're absolutely necessary for that. But we have too many of them, and they're unsustainable in terms of not being good for wildlife, for pollinators. The grass gets cut before it it begins to flower. So moths can't take it at night, butterflies or bees. So I've been kind of advocating gardening with nature, and this is a good way to do it. This is in a just an old kind of supermarket crate. A friend of mine planted these, a packet of seeds, about 60 days ago, and they're already in bloom. So they're flowering annuals, and we have cosmos here, cornflower and nemesia. This will give colour, so 8 weeks after you plant it, right through the summer. And all you have to do is clear whatever is in the garden, clear any perennial weeds, make sure it's an open sunny spot, and don't feed the area. And when this dies off, don't fertilise the soil with it, so take away any of the growth. Wildflowers will work on really weak soil. They don't need nutrients. You can sow them again. You can sow them now and later in the summer. They'll all blossom. Your garden will be and they cost virtually nothing. Your garden will be full of bees, butterflies. The birds will absolutely love it. Plant, sprinkle wildflower seeds in the autumn for next spring, so you'll have the earliest flowers in your area for early next year.
Okay.
And it's just so beautiful and wonderful to look at, and we're all concentrating.
You
on
might put
gardens.
A picture up on Instagram or something.
I will.
Jeremy, if people want to see it in case they can't tune in to see it here in studio. Mary, we've got lots of questions coming in from listeners that I want to put to both of you, but I might put this one to yourself, Mary, from Eileen. She says, I fill a large plastic container with water and then I put some of my pots, I'm not sure this is a question, but I'll read it anyway. And then I put some of my pots and baskets, leave for half an hour at least, then take them out, put more pots in using the same water and keep going. Is that a good idea?
It is. We used to, we used to use an old paddling pool, you know, the kids' paddling pool when it was null and void anymore. Just fill it up halfway and then put the pots in that. So you get a whole load of pots done at the same time. Hanging baskets, just sit into it and let them take up the water at their leisure. I mean, to be honest, we are going to get hopefully a drop of rain. So if you put out pots and buckets around the place and hopefully you have water butts, that goes a long way to watering the likes of your camellias, your rhododendrons, your azaleas, those plants that really need rainwater rather than the lime water that we would have in Dublin. You're lucky enough down in Wexford and Kerry and places like that where you'd have your water wouldn't be as limey as it is in Dublin. So
okay,
collect the water, yeah.
Dermot, thistles all over my lawn, help.
Well, thistles won't survive the lawnmower going over them because they grow and they flower and then that's how they propagate. So just good lawn maintenance, if it's a lawn that you want. If not, let the thistles flower. They produce great pollen.
There's a message here coming from Jeremy if you haven't picked up on it. Okay, Mary, my 10-year-old copper beech tree has stopped putting out its leaves before they reached full size. Is it in trouble? What can I do to save it?
Yeah, it sounds like it's drying out. Now, there's a couple of things with copper beech and beech in general. Some beech trees, or a lot of them, are grafted. So if you just look down at the bottom of the tree where the graft union was, so it's grafted onto a rootstock, and just make sure that it isn't coming away. So the union where the leafy part meets the bottom part isn't coming away. I've lost two or three beeches that way, that the graft union has failed. So it could be simple as that, or it just could be drought. So I don't know how many years it's in the ground, but last year we had drought. This year we're having serious problems with water again. So it could be a question that it's in need of water and attention.
Says, or this texture says 10-year-old. So
10-year-old, yeah. I mean, we have a hedge out the front here, which is suffering hugely in the last 2 years, and it's been there over 50 years. So what can I say? It is drought. We're just in a different type of weather pattern, and we have to get used to maybe choosing other plants that are used to this sort of dry weather in the summer, you know.
Okay. And Mary, another texter says, keep your washing up water in a basin in your sink and apply to plants at night. Is that what you were saying?
And can you put
that on any plants, or is that dangerous for any plants or harmful for any plants?
No, not at all. Okay. And you know, in you know, countries like New Zealand and places like that, they're well versed and well used to saving water. They don't leave taps on when they're brushing their teeth and all that sort of thing. They collect water all around the house. It's called grey water. They would run put a bucket in when they're having a shower, you know, not to waste the water coming out. We're just not, because we're a country that is used to getting a load of water, we're just not used to having to, you know, worry about it. But we will have to get used to it.
Time to change the mindset. In terms of general jobs, Dermot, that we should be tackling for June and the upcoming summer months, in terms of maintenance and preparing for everything, what should people be looking at?
Well, people are going to the garden centre at the moment because garden centres are just open again. So I think the first job to do is, if you can, safely to support the industry, and go and buy that colour. So plant up your hanging baskets, plant up the pots and containers, use the plants like geraniums, trailing geraniums, fuchsias, marguerites, all that wonderful colour that that you see. Then it is taking care of those containers, good lawn maintenance in general, and mulching the shrubs, the herbaceous perennials. Some of them will be growing up now, achieving great height. They might need staking, keeping an eye on everything, but really enjoying the garden this year. We have so many new gardeners. So we've been locked down for about 12 weeks and people have been stuck with their outdoor space. And people, the feedback we're getting is that people are really investing in this. And they're, you know, they might have gone out to mow the lawn or whatever, plant some shrubs occasionally, but now they're really seeing nature at work. So just enjoy it.
Somebody has seen nature at work in your own garden. They're asking, what's the name of that tall pink perennial geranium from your garden?
It is Geranium palmatum, and it does well in sun or light shade. It started to blossom. It grows to about a metre high. It's quite extraordinary. And if it's happy in your place, it'll absolutely take over. And I love a plant that self-seeds and takes over.
Mary, what about slugs and all our budding gardeners around the country who've been trying to plant their own vegetables? Ruth has got in touch and she doesn't want to use anything harsh. She's wondering if there's an eco-friendly way to send the slugs on their way. And incidentally, I've tried eggshells myself and it hasn't worked.
Okay, so there's there are a couple of ways. Beer, a beer trap, so you can fill a little container with beer and the slugs are attracted to the smell of the beer and they gravitate towards us. Yeah, Irish slugs, yeah. So, don't put out your very best beer, obviously, but there's been great success with that, I have to say. And I tell you what really works, and this is just another kind of plug for putting in a few native trees and shrubs. If you put in some native trees and shrubs into your garden, the birds will come into the garden because they're after the berries and they're after all the goodness that they provide, and the thicket kind of all the lovely cover that hawthorns and things like that would give. And once you have the birds in the garden, you'll have very few slugs.
Okay. Another texter from Ellen. Give this to you, Dermot. The leaves on my camellia, or is it? I think it's camellia tree. Is it? Are turning yellow.
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
Maybe a deficiency in the soil. So a boost of something called sequestrian iron. Sequestrian iron will, which is a tonic for, what's the word I'm looking for, Mari?
It's like a hair colour. I tell you, sequestered iron. Sequestered iron is great. It's great for turning the leaves back green, but really it's to address the soil issue. So it could be planted, as you know, Dermot, in the wrong soil. It needs an acid soil. Okay. So that, but it, the sequestered iron is a quick fix.
It's a tonic, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tonic, but you need to just address maybe the soil that it's in.
The base that it's in.
All right. Yeah. Just before we wrap up then, Dermot, I know you have an RTE/BBC TV series coming up next month. It's called Gardening Together with Dermot Gavin, and you're looking for people around the country to get in touch.
Yes,
what do you want?
So we're because we have all these new gardeners, we're making a series to introduce people to gardeners. It's something we started on Instagram, I think it was March the 18th. People with questions or people who would like help creating new gardens or areas within a garden. North or south, anywhere in the country, we have lots of brilliant experts. A lot of this will be done over Zoom or Instagram or remotely, but we have project managers who will visit. So if they get in touch at Dermot Gavin on Instagram or gardening@waddellmedia.com, gardening@waddellmedia.com or Dermot Gavin Instagram.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you very much, Dermot Gavin and Mary Staunton.